The call came in just after midnight.
Evidently, we get some oil, and we're going to be here for a while.
Court records indicate Captain Joseph Hazelwood was likely drunk when the Exxon Valdez ran aground. There was hardly any cleanup equipment on hand, no plan for action. The location was remote. Oil polluted a stretch of Alaskan coastline the length of the entire west coast of the U.S. The oil killed fish, sea otters, harbor seals, and an estimated 250,000 birds. Today, there's still oil on some beaches. 20 years later, a cargo vessel has just reported a spill of 160 gallons of oil on Washington State's Commencement Bay. Investigators have filled the spill situation room in the State Department of Ecology.
Who's responsible for actually maintaining and the bow thruster? When was the last
spill response manager David Byers says coastal states learned a lesson from Exxon Valdez and developed rapid response systems like this.
We've got crews headed up in a helicopter to do on-water observations. We've got response resources on the water headed out to do containment when we find the location of the oil.
Byers says the state handles dozens of spills this size each year, making it somewhat of a well-oiled machine. After the Exxon Valdez, the state of Washington put in place some tough prevention standards. But the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against the state. The court ruled the state was making safety demands of oil companies that only the federal government could make. Mike Cooper is chairman of the state's Oil Spills Advisory Council. He says that ruling is one reason why small oil spills are common in Washington's bays. He says other states have come up against the same restrictions.
When the Massachusetts legislature passed strict laws, the United States Coast Guard and the industry did the same thing that they did to the people of Washington State. They sued the people of the state of Massachusetts and said, we'll decide whether or not the oil industry has to pay.
A recent report revealed if there was a spill just a quarter of the size of the Exxon Valdez in Washington, cleanup efforts would be hampered by weak federal rules that don't require industry to be as prepared for a spill as the state would like. The Federal Oil Pollution Act did raise industry's liability and the amount of federal money available in the event of a spill. It also requires oil tankers and barges in U.S. waters to be double-hulled by 2015. The Exxon Valdez's single hull was easily gouged open when it ran aground. Today, most U.S.-flagged tankers and barges are double-hulled. Most foreign tankers aren't yet. But there's no law requiring a second hull on cargo ships. Bruce Wishart is policy director for People for Puget Sound. He says it's cargo vessels that are most likely to spill oil these days.
It's commonly assumed that oil tankers pose the single greatest threat in terms of an oil spill. There are actually many, many more cargo vessels plying our waters that pose a very significant risk simply because they carry a lot of fuel on board.
In 2007, the cargo vessel COSCO Busan spilled 53,000 gallons of oil into San Francisco Bay. Thousands of birds died. A fully loaded cargo ship can contain 40 times more oil than that spill. So while oil tankers have become safer in the two decades since the Exxon Valdez, the nation's waterways still remain at risk of a major spill. For the Environment Report, I'm Ann Dornfeld.